Well, the biggest thing that we've been doing recently is working on the Choose Freedom campaign. This is a new scheme. It's called a Citizens Initiative. And a Citizens Initiative is actually something that was started as a result of the Treaty of Lisbon. And it's a way in which members of the public can approach the European Parliament. So it's a democratic tool that allows members of the public to petition the EU if they want to change the rules or they want to propose an idea to be taken up by the government. Now, this scheme is all about applying for an EU passport. The reason we've gone for an EU passport rather than an EU citizenship, as many other people have tried that already, is because it's not within the power of the EU to give people citizenship because they're not a nation state. But they can issue EU passports. In fact, there's already a scheme that exists called a laissez-passer, which is a way in which they give EU passports to people who need to travel across Europe, like diplomats, for example.
Mariano Rajoy, the Spanish Prime Minister, made some kind of comment about joint citizenship. Apparently it was mentioned with the people for Gibraltar, but that was turned down. But does that remain a possibility as well?
Certainly I've not heard anything specifically as regards dual citizenship for UK citizens in Spain. I've seen that he's offered that in Gibraltar, obviously with conditions attached. But I know there is a petition going around at the moment where they're trying to petition the Spanish government to get dual nationality. Whether or not they will allow that, we have to wait and see. In fact, if you've got Spanish citizens in the UK, then they are entitled to dual nationality because Britain allows it, but Spain does not. So obviously that's a step too far for many to take up Spanish citizenship if it means that they've got to give up their British citizenship. But with the new passport scheme, obviously the idea is that if you have an EU passport, then you get to hold on to those rights that you associate with citizenship anyway. So it would still allow you freedom of movement, for example.
Now, this, of course, is obviously your organisation is Remain in Spain is very much for the Spanish British citizenship citizens, if you like, living in Spain. But there are many other organisations in other countries, and you seem to be sort of working ever more closely with them. Am I right?
We are. Yes. There's a group of us. It's about 15 groups altogether that meet together once a week for a teleconference on Skype. They represent countries all over Europe, and we all are groups that represent UK citizens who live in the EU. And those 15 groups all work collectively, and they work also with groups in the UK that represent EU citizens, people like the 3 Million organisation. So we work very closely with them, and we do various activities, joint efforts together. So the one big thing that we did recently was the alternative white paper. So when May presented the white paper to the government, which was very short and very short on detail, we produced an alternative white paper, which went into a lot more detail, and that's been widely publicised in the press, but it's also gone to lots of MPs and members of the House of Lords as well.
Now, I have seen, obviously, I mean, my job here is working in news almost constantly, and I've seen your name and your organisation's name turn up in all sorts of interesting news publications. Has this been a kind of like a snowball rolling down a hill that's gone so fast? Has it taken you by surprise?
It has, actually. It all started after my appearance at the Select Committee in January. I wasn't expecting the sort of press coverage that we got from that. In fact, I was inundated for days afterwards, people wanting interviews, journalists for the news media, but also lots of radio work as well, both in Spain and in the UK. Since then, we've actually got our act together and got ourselves properly organised, and we now have a press officer and a media liaison officer. And we've now got involved with a press dispensary. So we're now actually in a position to be able to write our own press releases and to control where that information goes. So we did a big press release when we launched the EU passport campaign. And we've had a lot of press as a result of that. So that's working very well for us at the moment. And obviously, the more press we get for the campaign, then the more people that vote, which is very important because we need to have a million votes in order for this scheme to go to the next stage.
Yeah, that figure of a million automatically triggers your right to be heard in the European Parliament, am I right?
It does, yes. Once we get a million signatures, then we get invited to meet the European Commission, and then we get to present a public hearing in front of the European Parliament. So we get to present our case, we get heard, presumably we get to ask and answer questions, and then they have 3 months in which to make a decision, and then they have to justify their decision one way or the other. So obviously we've no way of knowing at this stage whether it would be successful if we get that far, but certainly it will garner a lot of publicity along the way, and at the very least what we're hoping is that it will prove to politicians in the EU and in the UK how much we value our EU citizenship and the lengths that we're prepared to go to hang on to it.
So have you any idea, Sue, at the moment how many signatories you've got?
Well, we've only been going for a week, and we've got about 11,000 at the moment, so we've still got a great deal of work to do. We've just set up a project team to put together a strategy, because it's not simply as straightforward as getting a million votes, which we could get the entire lot from England, I'm sure, or from Britain, rather, or the UK. But we do have to have a certain quota of votes from 7 European countries. So we think that's going to be fairly straightforward in Spain. The quota in Spain is about 40,000, and there's minimum 300,000 Brits here, possibly anything up to a million. So we don't think getting the quota for Spain will be an issue, or for the UK, or possibly for Ireland as well. But we've got to find 4 other countries as well. We can't include France because the peculiar voting rules of France means that Brits in France can't vote, which is a shame because obviously there's a lot of UK citizens living in France. So we're probably going to have to look at countries like the Netherlands and Cyprus in order to gather all the votes that we need across the 7 countries. It can be any 7 countries of our choosing, but we do have to meet those thresholds. Then once we've met those thresholds, we can get the rest of the votes to build up to the million from anywhere. So the likelihood is that they will all come from the UK.
I mean, this is the interesting thing. I suppose we've noticed this ever more with the advent of the internet and social media and the such like. Citizens getting together and raising enough signatories and enough voices can actually really make a difference, can't they?
Certainly. And, you know, we have to do whatever we can, and we have to make our voices heard. You know, there are a lot of us out there. In theory, in the UK alone, there are 16 million plus people who want to stay in the EU. And I suspect it's a lot more than that by now. Not to mention all of us that are already here, many of whom who couldn't vote. The good thing about this scheme is that the 15-year rule does not apply. So if you were unable to vote in the last election or in the referendum because you've been out of the UK for too long, that's not an issue with voting for the EU passport, because the only criteria is that you are an EU citizen and that you are of voting age, but you don't actually have to be registered to vote anywhere. So those people who were disenfranchised before can actually vote in this.
Oh, well, that's good news.
That's a positive. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Now, you seem to have an interesting ally. The prime focus of what you were trying to do, albeit initially, was to see if you could stop Brexit. Well, it looks as though Tony Blair has come out, you know, former Labour Prime Minister has come out by saying, well, I think we should relook at this whole Brexit thing and see if we can redo it. Were you expecting help from him?
Yes, we were, because we know that there have been discussions going on behind the scenes. We're part of some large organisations in the UK, and they have been having lots of discussions with lots of people, you know, in Parliament and behind the scenes as well. And it's not the first time that Tony Blair has actually, you know, said something of this nature. Obviously, it's a big speech today and it's all over the press. And I would say, you know, we agree with everything he's saying. And stopping Brexit is still absolutely, you know, our number one priority. The Choose Freedom campaign for EU passports is definitely of the Plan B variety. You know, if all else fails, we want to be able to hang on to those rights that we enjoy at the moment. But we would hope that it wouldn't be necessary, because we're going to stop Brexit and then, you know, we don't have to worry about any of these things.
Now, obviously, you've got an awful lot on your plate, Sue. I mean, what does the week ahead hold for you?
Well, it's going to be more campaigning for the EU passports, because we've just set up this project team and we're all meeting up via Skype next week to plan a strategy for how we tackle the different quotas in the different countries. We will probably be trying a lot of different methods and finding out what works where. I'm sure, you know, one method might work in Cyprus that won't work in the Netherlands, for example. So we have to look at all the options. And obviously we'll be reaching out to groups of UK citizens who live in those countries as well. So it's really just working on that is the main tack at the moment. The other thing we're doing in the next few days is we've got our House of Lords lobby team who are going to be lobbying hard to all of the members of the House of Lords who are actively taking part in the debate next week, because obviously the Brexit bill is going before the House of Lords. So they've got 3 days of debate next week and then again the following week. So we'll be writing to all those Lords who have expressly said that they want to either put forward an amendment or are planning to speak in the debate. So I think it's about 200 of them altogether. And we've had a lot of support from the House of Lords. We've had some very good feedback from them, especially, it has to be said, from those in the Liberal Democratic Party, who are obviously fighting hard all over the UK and are the only party who are actually saying that they are against Brexit. So we are hoping that at least one, maybe more, of the amendments put forward by the House of Lords in the next couple of weeks will get tacked onto the bill. And hopefully there'll be quite a lot of what the official term is ping pong between the House of Lords and the House of Commons, and that will potentially delay the triggering of Article 50. So it'll be all happening in the House of Lords for the next fortnight.
Okay. Well, we wish you the very best of luck, Sue. I know you're very, very busy. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us. And just remind us once again, if people want to have a look, see what you're up to, remind us of your website.
Yep, it's www.bremainespain.com. And if you go to our homepage, there you'll see the logo for the Choose Freedom campaign. If you click on that, it will talk you through all the details of the campaign, tell you how you vote. And there's all sorts of FAQs on there as well, and it will also lead you straight to the voting form. So please, any citizens in the EU who are of voting age, please vote for the campaign. We need as many votes as possible.